Thomas Lennon. He's reunited with the cast of Reno 911 for a movie called Reno 911, The Hunt for QAnon. Thomas has played Lieutenant Jim Dangle for almost 20 years now. Reno 911 originated as a mockumentary on Comedy Central, a parody of the long-running propaganda series Cops. Thomas has also appeared in many films and TV shows, and he's co-written screenplays for the Night at the Museum movie franchise. As if that's not enough, Thomas is the author of the young adult series of novels about a young detective named Ronan Boyle. He was also a member of the groundbreaking comedy troupe The State, which had a show on MTV in the early 90s.
You know, we actually were a comedy group in 1988. We became a comedy group with a bunch of other people at NYU. But from that very specific group, like a really weird amount of people stayed in comedy and are still like very busy, people that you'll see all the time, like David Wayne and Michael Showalter, you know, who just did The Eyes of Tammy Faye, and the guys who did Wet Hot American Summer, and Ken Marino from Party Down, and Joe Latruglio from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So we're all part of sort of, in the 80s, we imagined ourselves as like a Wooster group, if that's a weird reference, but we, maybe we thought we were more like, you know, The Clash. We felt like we were the only comedy group that mattered. So I guess there's something relentless about us. You know, that said, you know, we've never gone beyond cult status ever. So, yeah, we've done a great job of doing being not that famous for over a quarter century.
You all seem to have this Larry David, Curb Your Enthusiasm project greenlight system where if the funny or inspiration hits, you make another film. And it's been, I think, nearly 15 years since Reno 911 Miami. What was it about QAnon that made you want to do another movie?
This was a weird one because, you know, we've never done a political sketch, to my knowledge, really of any kind. We did, to my knowledge, the only political sketch we've ever done on Reno 911 was we did a parody of Waiting for Godot. And the joke was that Junior and Dangle were waiting in the desert for George W. Bush's motorcade to go by. And it never, ever came.
We're in the right place, right?
Well, this is where we're waiting.
Yeah. I said Bush is going to be right here.
Through here.
Through here. What?
Not right here, through here.
Who?
Bush.
Oh, Bush, right.
You know, we did verbatim, like beat for beat, the entire play Waiting for Godot, and no one ever noticed or cared. So we don't do, you know, we don't do a ton of political stuff. So the weird thing that happened was that Paramount Plus, you know, the streaming version of Paramount, came and said, would you guys like to make a movie? And we said, absolutely. We can roll out of bed and make a movie. And they said, great, here's the title. It's called Reno 911, The Hunt for QAnon. And we said, wouldn't that be Reno 911, The Hunt for Q? And they said, shut up. Do you want to do the movie or not? You have to use this title. And we said, oh, well, yeah, sure. And, you know, we thought, you know, there's a weird thing about Reno 911, which is, you know, I mean, our joke was always that somehow Reno 911 appeals to tons of recreational drug users and law enforcement, like in equal parts. And, I think after a long bit of trying to figure that out, like why were we the cop show that survived, you know, there was all the copaganda shows got canceled. But we actually got picked up, our final season got picked up, or our seventh season got picked up the day that the actual show Cops got canceled.
These last few years, it's been a nightmare to be a cop. You're walking on eggshells, and it's twice as bad for someone like me, maybe like 100 times as bad, because I hate everybody. I literally can't stand humanity. So for me, I got to get over hating everybody, or my individual hatreds come off like prejudice.
We were never NYPD Blue. We were never like a bunch of, you know, badass cops who were, you know, if we kick down doors, we get hurt, and then we just fall down through the door, and there's no one ever on the other side that we're looking for, you know. So I think our survival was based on, and then, which led to a weird thing, you know, the fact that it's all sort of improvised and our conversations derail instantly and sound like real people talking. Many police officers say that we're the most accurate cop show on TV.
Interesting.
And they weren't kidding when they said it to me.
Right. Yeah. You really took full comedy advantage of the wackadoodle craziness of QAnon with the new movie. It seems to me that it's a great match for the lunacy of Reno 911, was it?
That's what's so perfect. Like, I think if they did, like, you know, if like Blue Bloods or something, you know, was going to go, we're going after Q. Yeah, that's just too silly. But like, there's something about when you hear the QAnon theories, and of course, when you see the reveal in our film of what Q and where the Q theories come from, I'm very pleased about that. I don't want to spoil it, obviously, but there's something about the level of competence of our, you know, it's like you could put the Reno 911 squad, like you could put us up against the Muppets, you know, you could put us up again, but I feel like that's why it kind of works. Like there's something just ever so slightly cartoonishly dumb about us that pairs, we do pair well with something like that.
The actual Q, we need to put this in the hand and serve Q.
How are we supposed to find Q? The whole thing about Q is that nobody knows where Q is.
Nobody knows.
That's the whole thing.
Is Q even a person?
We got to put it in the trunk of Mr. Snuffleupagus.
Are you saying Snuffleupagus or Upagus?
Upagus.
Oh my God! Don't get into this again.
I'm
sick of you two arguing.
Home break.
It's Upagus.
What was it like to put on those short shorts again?
You know, it's never been. It was never great the first time. So at the first time I was wearing the shorts, I was 29. I'm now 51. Oh no! There is a great aspect of that, and I think most folks know the world of fabrics has definitely gotten better. I mean, we have now much more high-tech sort of shorts. So the shorts definitely they're a little more forgiving in my 50s than they were in my late 20s.
Mm-hmm. And you also had this kind of weird is this a spoiler to talk about the actual outfit you wore?
No, my romper. My
short QAnon romper, yes.
I'm really proud of the QAnon romper.
You should be.
We put some time into that. I was like, so the notion, without any spoilers, the notion is, the idea is we would go undercover, presenting ourselves as followers of the Q, and which led to some really amazing outfits. And I've got a patriotic QAnon outfit that also I got because Dangle's. Always been an out gay character. I've got Pride Q flags on it. It's really just wonderful. If they make a new action figure of me, the Pride QAnon Don't Tread on Me romper just ticks a lot of weird boxes for folks, I think.
You know? Absolutely, and I don't think it's a question of if. I think it's a question of when they make the action figure. They've got to make it. They're hopefully working on it now.
They've got to be.
Yeah, it looks like you all had a blast filming this. So I got to ask, how often do you guys break while you're filming?
When we do, it's pretty hard. We've gotten a little bit better at it. There was the worst time I laughed in this film, and I think you can probably see it a little bit on camera. We get shown to, so of course we go on this QAnon cruise, but the department is paying our bills. So we've been put in the lowest possible cruise ship package you can be in, which is basically we're down like below steerage.
Yeah.
And so Kulop Velysok, who's a great improviser in LA, and she plays sort of she's like the mistress who is the head of like ship operations. She shows us down into steerage where we're going to be, where we're going to be sleeping for the next couple days. And Wendy McClendon Covey, who plays Clemmy, of course, she looked up off camera and she said, are those bats that I'm seeing up in the corner there? And if you watch my, you can see my face. It's in the film.
What's below executive double bottom?
Nothing.
You
are lowest.
Right. This is rustic. Almost to a fall.
It's nicer than that place we had in Laughlin.
By a lot. And yes.
Do you know the best part?
Yeah.
No windows.
Yeah.
I have a hard time getting to sleep sometimes, but I feel like there's so little oxygen in here that it's going to be pretty easy. I mean,
you want to work. You want to work a little bit when you sleep, you know?
Earn your life.
Earn your life.
Earn your life.
Earn the trip, you know?
Is that a bat? Those aren't bats up there.
Oh, yes.
Those are bats.
Yes.
Okay.
They come with the room complimentary.
Oh, they're moving. Look, they're moving just a little bit. They're wiggling around.
Beautiful. There's the baby.
Oh, that's a baby.
But if you see my face, I look real angry and I'm trying to concentrate about something. But that's just me. That's just me. just me responding, accurately to her saying, "Are there bats hanging on the ceiling of this room here?" And of course, the answer, because it's an improv show, is, "Oh yes, of course."
Yes, yes, and
it's always yes.
Is there anyone that breaks everyone?
Most of the folks on the squad have gotten very good about keeping it together. You know, because we've been doing the show for quite a long time now, and also, of course, if you break, we have to stay longer and do it again. So, Carlos is the worst. Carlos laughs a lot. There's a new thing I started doing between season 7 and 8 where, we've been doing this long enough. I'm now just playing a game where I'm only trying to make Wendy break at all of our morning briefings. So what I did was there's a game where we don't use them every time, but I announce what new app or local service is sponsoring our station for that day's morning briefing. And it's just a game where I get Wendy, but my favorite one was Panda Fridge, which is refrigerators only when you need them. and then one called Soup Gorilla, which is if you want the ingredients for soup delivered and you're not in a rush, so you don't mind if soup ingredients get to your door within a pretty reasonable couple of days or not much more than that, Soup Gorilla. And then it's really just me trying to make Wendy laugh. And I've been getting pretty good at it.
I really liked what you were doing on stage today.
I noticed.
Listen, I am waxed, chillaxed, and unvaxed, so.
In addition to leading one of the most famous cult comedy troupes and making cameos in big blockbuster comic book movies and leading network sitcoms, you are also the author of the New York Times bestselling Ronan Boyle series of young adult books. Can you tell us a little bit about the series?
I can. So it all kind of started. I was in Ireland on a family trip. We kind of go a lot. My grandparents are from Ireland, obviously. And so I was in Ireland in a castle called Turin Castle, which is in County Mayo, a little tower castle. And someone showed me what a real Irish shillelagh looks like. Mm-hmm. And I always pictured them as a cute little walking stick, or something that would be in the Lucky Charms box, like real shillelaghs. And no, it turns out it's like a major heavy-duty weapon from when Irish people couldn't carry swords, weren't allowed, to carry swords. So I just sort of got my wheels turning, and I'd always wanted to write sort of a funny fantasy novel, a little bit in the inspiration, obviously, being Douglas Adams and The Hitchhiker's Guide and all those books. So I ended up writing 3 novels now, and there at some point will be a film from DreamWorks. And it's called Ronan Boyle. The first one's Ronan Boyle and the Bridge of Riddles, Ronan Boyle and the Swamp of Certain Death, and then the new one is called Ronan Boyle Into the Strange Place. And basically, they follow a 16-year-old kid from Galway who gets sort of accidentally recruited into the special unit of Tírnanog, which is the police force in Ireland that has to deal with leprechauns, cluricons, banshees, harpies, shearies, all of the sort of mythological Irish creatures. And It's been enormously fun. They're very fun. Yeah, the books have sold well, and people keep finding them. And I think I was never really a super strong reader until I got to things that made me laugh out loud. And so I think my real intention with the Ronan Boyle books was write books that young people would laugh out loud during, not kind of. They should be, hopefully you'll laugh till you scream. Was the intention?
Yeah, they're very funny.
Thanks.
Yeah, they are very funny. Mission accomplished. How does your comedy writing influence your fiction, and vice versa?
I feel ultimately like it's all part of one thing. I feel like I kind of just I like to write compulsively. I was very lucky, kind of young. I had a mentor whose name is Peter Hedges, and he was my teacher at theater camp at Northwestern in Chicago, where I was at theater camp, actually with Carrie Kenny, who would later be Trudy Weigel on Reno 911. So this was in 1987. We were 17 years old, and Peter, who would go on to write What's Eating Gilbert Grape and An Ocean in Iowa and a bunch of really cool novels and plays and things, he got in my head when I was that young, and like he made me think that like writing every day was a really cool way to be. Like it was just like cool. Like it was like riding a motorcycle or something, you know, but cheaper. And I was like, I'm going to be like this guy. And so I just started sort of patterning my, but I still write every day, even if I'm just sort of trying something out, or like, you know, I'll write a sketch from maybe for no reason sometimes, you know, just to do it.
That's great. Again,
it's a bit of a compulsion maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's good. It's a good compulsion, I would say. And we're the beneficiaries of it. So thank you for being so compulsive with your writing.
Thank you.
Thomas Lennon, thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations on all of your multimedia success, and we look forward to your future successes.
What an absolute pleasure. This was so fun.
Thomas Lennon is Lieutenant Jim Dangle in Reno 911, The Hunt for QAnon. He's also the author of the Ronan Boyle series of young adult novels. Find out more at WPR.org/beta.
I don't think that I'll look back on this book and be embarrassed by it in 20 years. Because there are things from my early books that I know if I went back and reread, I would be embarrassed by it.
Coming up, author Chuck Klosterman takes us back to the 90s. So grab your favorite plaid flannel shirt, your fanny pack, and an ice-cold Crystal Pepsi. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.